In other words, if someone says God and evil can't exist, those two statements don't contradict each other. So why is he saying that? Well, he must have a presupposition. That's where we get into our presuppositions. He has certain thoughts and beliefs about God and evil that aren't necessarily true. And if we deal with the presuppositions of what he's really saying underneath, then we'll deal with his statement. And here's the first one. The first presupposition that someone has when they think that God and evil can't exist is this. If God is all-powerful, then he can create any world that he wishes. You get that? Here's the presupposition. If God is all-powerful, then he can create any world he wishes. Some of you may believe that way right now. Okay? You may think that way, and we're going to open it up a little bit. But if you believe that way, that God can do anything really he wants, he can even do a logical contradiction, well then, why doesn't he just create a world without evil? After all, he has the power to do it.
He did.
Pardon?
He did.
He created a world without evil?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's true. That's true. And that fits in as a solution. This guy, man. Mr. Facts. It's good. Very good. Very good. He did create a world without evil. And yet, the argument still stands. Well, why doesn't he? I mean, he knew what was going to happen. So obviously, he did create a world with evil. Because it was in his power to create one in which evil was not possible. See, that's their assumption. But is that true? Can God do everything? Yes or no? No, he cannot. He can't do everything. Can he do everything? No, he can't lie. He can't sin. There are certain things God can't do. Okay? And one of those things God can't do is create, and this is at first going to sound unspiritual, but he cannot create a logical contradiction. Not because he's bound by logic, but because logic is simply a description of common sense. Yes?
Is it also because
yes, absolutely. It's because of his nature. That's why the Bible says he dwells in unapproachable light. And he can't have sin in his presence. He can't look on sin. He couldn't even look at his son die. If my son was going to die, I would watch it. I would want to be there. He couldn't. Because the Bible says Jesus became sin for us. So it's because of his holiness and his righteousness that he can't do certain things. It would compromise his character as God. You see? So God is a person and as such has boundaries. Okay? And the boundaries don't conflict him, they just define him. Get it? They define him. See? It's not that he can't do it because he wants to and can't. It's that he is a person that will not. Okay? He cannot because of the fact of who he is. Jesus couldn't sin. Well, Jesus as a man. But Jesus, the Son of God, can't sin. Neither can God sin. God can't lie. He can't sin. He can't go back on his promise. And taking that further, God can't make a round square. Do you get that? God can't make a round square. Because there's no such thing. All right? Now you say, well, God could create one. Well, a square has different properties than a circle does. In other words, what I'm saying is there are certain things that God can't do because those things define who he is. Now, God does say, is anything too hard for me? And the answer is no. But those things fall under the realm of his person. Okay? So we need to understand that when someone says if God's all powerful, then he can create any world that he wishes. And let me give you an example. And I know for some of you, you're like, wait a minute. I don't know about that. Have you ever heard this said to you? Can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? Okay? You ever heard that objection? You have an answer for it? What is it? I'll get back to you. He can? So then there's something he can't do. Yeah, he can make a rock so big that he can't pick it up. You see what I mean? So that's what they're trying to prove. There's something he can't do. But they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. Why try to prove that God can do certain things that his nature doesn't determine that he can? See? Now this is kind of deep philosophical stuff here, but it's biblical. It's biblical. There's things God won't do and can't do. And it says clearly, God can't lie, can't sin, can't. He can't do the logical incompatibilities. He can't send his son and not send his son at the same time. Understand that? He couldn't have said, I sent my son and did not send my son, saith the Lord. No, well either he did or he didn't. See? So, the first premise itself is faulty because it says if God is all-powerful, then basically he can do anything. He can do anything. And we need to be careful about that. And I know that for some of you, there's still that part you want to hold on to and say, and I understand it, I feel it too. Well, wait a minute, my God can do all things. And that's true. That's true. That define his character and nature that are within who he is. If it's outside of who he is, he can't do it. And we don't like to hear that, but that's just the way it is. God can't do certain things. He can't lie and he can't create logical contradictions. He can't do it. He won't do it. Okay? Now, the second part of that argument is this. Here's the second premise that someone might have to have a logical argument against God's existence. Okay, here it is. If God were all good, he would prefer, see, this one's a little more subtle. He would prefer a world without evil over a world with evil, free of all human evils or natural evils. Can I pause here and ask if it's hot in here? Is it hot?
Yes.
Whew, man, I am really sweating over here. And then if it gets cold, just, you know, let us know. Now, guys, listen, I talk, you know how I talk. Raise your hand if you want to stop me and say, wait, if you disagree, okay, listen, I want to be able to talk about it. I've got to get this information out. But I want you to be able to say, well, wait a minute, raise your hand. Feel free to talk about it so we can talk it out. And no problem, I don't feel threatened by that. I welcome it, okay? I want to talk about it and get the issue really out on the table because I want every one of us to understand the issue, okay? Any questions? Everybody. If God were all good, he would prefer a world without evil over a world with evil, free of all human evils or natural evils. That's the second part. Now, that one is a little harder to disprove because it's kind of a probable within the logical. Okay, he's basically saying God would prefer a world without evil, right? He would, wouldn't he? I mean, after all, God would prefer a world of perfectly good over perfectly evil. He would prefer a world without any pain and without any sufferings. Light should be going off right now in your minds. God would prefer a world without any pain and sickness and suffering because after all, his goal in life is our happiness, right? No. No. That's right. God has different goals in mind. But since man has that premise, wouldn't he prefer a world without evil? Well, let's deal with them. First of all, I want to quote David Hume. Have you heard David Hume? 18th century Scottish skeptic. This is what he says. Listen to this carefully. Is God willing to prevent evil but unable? Then he is impotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then why is there evil? Whence then is evil? He says. Okay? Is God willing to take out evil but unable? He doesn't have the power. Is he able but not willing to take out evil? Well, then he doesn't care about us. All right. Well, then why is there evil in the world? See, that's his argument against the existence of God. He's allowed certain evils into the world. Now, the fallacy of this argument lies in the assumptions. The assumptions are always the secret to show someone that the way they're thinking is wrong. It's all about what's being assumed. What's being assumed here, number one, is that if God is all-powerful, then he can create any world he wishes. Let's deal with that one first. It's not necessarily true that God can create any world he wishes. The fact that God is all-powerful does not mean that he can bring about logical contradictions. Can God make a round square? Can he make something both happen and not happen? And the answer to those questions are no. Therefore, it is logically contradictory to make someone freely choose something. And let me pause here. We're not going to get into Calvinism and Arminianism tonight, okay? If you're a Calvinist tonight, think about Adam. Because everything here will apply just to Adam. If you're not, just think about the whole human race. And so we settle that issue. Let's move on. Okay? Therefore, it is logically contradictory to make someone freely choose something. What that means is that there may be other kinds of worlds that God could have created, but he chose to create mankind free. Get it? Any world in which God creates free moral agents has great potential for evil to exist. God is saying to man, he said to Adam, look, you can eat of all these trees, but don't eat of this one, right? Because your eyes will be opened, evil will be introduced into the human race, and you'll fall. God knew since creating that world that there would be a potential for evil to exist. But the source didn't lie in him. The source lied in man. Man had the ability to choose God or not to choose God, and he chose to go away from God, to fall away. And as such, he became a sinner and introduced evil into the world. So to say that God can create any world he wants doesn't satisfy the question. Because the question is, yes, he could have, but choosing to create man free so that he might have free love from man and not forced love gave the potential for evil to exist. Okay? In other words, God's not the author of evil, but the best possible world he could have created, he created. And in that best possible world, there must be evil. There must be evil. Otherwise, it would not be the best possible world in the mind of God. Now, all we're trying to do is show someone who has this argument is that this is a possible solution. We don't have to say this is the solution. We just have to say this is a possible solution to the problem of evil. Is it not possible that God would create a world and give man freedom in order to choose him or not to choose him, and that man, having turned his back on God, introduced evil into the world? Is that not possible? If we can prove that that's possible, then the logical argument falls. It's over. It's just like no gold in Africa. I found some in Kenya. Well, it's over. It's all over. That argument doesn't work. What I've done is I've showed him that there is a possibility for both evil and God to exist. And that's all we're trying to do. This shows that there is no logical incompatibility between God and evil. Therefore, on those grounds alone, this version of the argument is invalid. Okay? It's invalid. In philosophical circles, up till this point today, there are no schooled atheists who use the logical argument anymore, because it's been completely and totally defeated by godly Christian men in the university circles. Praise God. They have completely and totally defeated the logical argument against the existence of God from evil. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore in the universities. It used to, but you know what? People now have adopted it. Normal laymen have adopted it. People you meet every day use it. But the fact is it's been defeated because it's been displayed that both of these things can exist. God and evil can exist. And that's all we're trying to do is show that it's possible. It's possible. And if it's possible, then for sure the logical argument falls. Now, having done that, the big question, I'm trying to beg you to ask it here, is what is evil? What is it? Okay? What is the metaphysics of evil? What is it? What is it in reality? Could you give me a pound of evil? It's not a physical thing, is it? Well, then what is it? Who can tell me what evil is? Take a guess. Anything that doesn't line up with God, that's a description of evil. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly on the right track. Anyone else? What is evil? Evil is sin, okay? That's one of the sin is evil. That's true.
Is it the absolute opposite of God?
Yes.
Holy and pure and evil is exactly the
antithesis of God, right? The opposite of God. That's absolutely correct. If you substitute the word opposite with one other word, you're going to hit the nail on the head. What evil is? That's exactly right. It is the opposite of God. But what is evil itself as a thing? Did God make it? Did he create it? No, he did not. That's right. He did not create evil. And by the way, the scripture in Isaiah that says, I created evil in the King James, it means calamity, not evil. It means war. But God created evil. Did he create evil? No. Then what is evil? What's that? It's a power, okay? It's a power. How about this? I submit to you this definition, okay? An absence of the influence or presence of God. That's what it is. It is not a thing, it's an absence of a thing. Like space. Space is not a thing. It's an absence of matter, absence of light. It is complete, utter darkness. There is no light. There's nothing there. Space itself is not a thing, although if you were lost in space, you'd know it. Okay? Another example is cold and heat. Do you know that physicists agree that cold is not a thing? Cold is an absence of heat. Yet when you're outside without a jacket and it's 20 below, you feel cold, don't you? It's real, but it's a vacuum. I submit to you that evil is not a thing per se, although it does exist. It is the absence of a thing. It is the absence of God. That's what evil is. It is God extracted from the world, extracted from man's mind, man's heart, extracted from the created order. That's what happens. Bad things happen. That's what evil is. And you might want to use that one time. Now, if God were all good, this is the second presupposition under the logical problem of evil, okay? If God were all good, would he not prefer a world without evil? Shouldn't he? I mean, why does he actually prefer this world over the world that we live in with suffering and evil and pain? Why does he prefer it? It doesn't make any sense. And so therefore, if God is a good God, then he must not exist because he should prefer a world without evil. Well, the fact is that in many cases we can see how pain and suffering in a person's life actually brings about some kind of greater good. Can't you see that in the world? Have not pain and suffering done that to you? Sometimes there's a morally sufficient reason for pain and suffering. Amen? Is there not sometimes, even a non-believer will say, a morally sufficient reason for suffering and pain and evil? The answer to that is yes. I play guitar, okay, in case you didn't know. Okay, I try to play guitar. I have calluses on my hands, and I have a permanent mark on my fingers that's shaped like a string on every single one of them. And when I first started pressing those strings, it hurt so bad. I internally bled in my fingers, okay? It hurt so bad, and then finally my skin started to get hard and chapped and rough until finally now I can play the guitar and it doesn't hurt. See? That is a mechanism God put in my life in order through pain and through that. And that's a, give me a break, I mean, it's a small example. But what it illustrates is the fact that pain in our lives produces good things. It causes us to be better people. There are morally sufficient reasons for certain kinds of pain and suffering, and even evil. Those of you who have children, you've disciplined your children. However you've chosen to do it, you may spank them, you may give them time out, you may somehow discipline them, and in their mind, that's a world of evil. They have absolutely no understanding of why you're doing that. My daughter, we have time out for her. She goes in her room and I shut the door. I stand right outside the door and I wait for her. Okay? Or sometimes I sit in there with her. And she cries and cries and cries and cries until she realizes that all of her crying isn't going to change our decision and complies, right? And we're so happy and she comes out and apologizes and all of that. But one thing she does, she's only two and she goes, "I'm sorry, Daddy." Oh, breaks my heart. Oh, man, I can't do it. And so the other day we're in the room and she's crying. She's looking at me like this. And then there's a mirror on her wall, and she looks at the mirror and goes, you know, and it sounds like she's dying, you know? And I'm like, "Audrey, you're not going to die." You know, I mean, literally to her, it's just this huge and terrible thing. You can't imagine anything worse, right, than time out, okay? That's us before God. That's us before his presence. The smallest, tiniest thing in his eyes can seem to us to be the biggest thing in the world. The most evil and horrendous, terrible thing. And yet there is a morally sufficient reason for which he can use evil and suffering and pain in your life to make you more like him. Because he loves you. And that for the Christian is, and it's not, but they can see through the natural world how pain, hard times, failure make them better people. They don't understand the concept of God. But they know that when they've gone through a hard time, they've learned a lesson, they've gotten better at it. And so the objection that God would prefer a world without evil doesn't stand. Because maybe God needs to use suffering and evil in the world in order to make people better. And that can be clearly seen through life, right? the evidential proof. We can see through life that God uses bad things. And even if there were no God,